Welcome to the Old Time Radio Westerns. I'm your host, Andrew Rines, and this episode is brought to you by our members. Without Patreon and without those of you who have been subscribed for a very long time, I would not have been able to do these shows. I know I'm running a little behind on them, but I'm pushing them out as quick as I can. And how else can I forget, or who else really for that matter, is none other than Heritage Lady. That's right, Helen from Heritage Lady. She does pretty much Canada's best, as far as I've seen, genealogy. You know, genealogy is when you look into your family, and a lot of people go, oh, I don't know anything about my family. But you do. Most of you know who your parents were, and you might even know your grandparents. Right there is enough information to actually find out some more. So you start connecting these points of interest and you realize, wait a minute, my family's from Canada. We did that with my wife and her family is from Canada, come to find out. And we can actually trace back the lineage on one side of her family all the way back until about the thousands. So you'd be surprised at how fast and how quickly you can research all this stuff and be surprised by who is around. You never know. You might have that long lost cousin that's your next door neighbor and didn't even realize it. So for more information, email Helen. Her email address is heritagelady@gmail.com. Again, heritagelady@gmail.com, and let her know OTR Western sent you. Let's get into today's episode. Today's episode is going to be Gunsmoke. Original air dates May 1st, 1956, and the title is How to Sell a Ranch. Or is it How Not to Sell a Ranch? I guess we'll have to get into it and see what it's all about. Hope you enjoy, and let's get into it.
Around Dodge City and in the territory on West, there's just one way to handle the killers and the spoilers, and that's with a U.S. Marshal and the smell of gun smoke. Gun smoke. Starring William Conrad, the transcribed story of the violence that moved west with young America, and the story of a man who moved with it.
I'm that man, Matt Dillon, United States Marshal. The first man they look for and the last they want to meet. It's a chancy job, and it makes a man watchful and a little lonely.
I swear this is the lonesomest looking ranch in the whole state of Kansas, Mr. Dillon.
That's no place for a man who likes company, Chester.
3 days' ride from Dodge, 150 miles. It'd get me talking to myself.
Now let's drive an old Tub Claver a little crazy.
Not so crazy, he ain't finally selling out.
Yeah, let's leave him here, huh?
I ain't laid eyes on old Tup in over a year.
Yeah, he hasn't changed any. And that's what worries me.
What do you mean?
Well, I'm not sure the old man's competent when it comes to business like selling a ranch. Oh, there he is. Hey, Tup, hello!
Hello!
Look at his hair. He must use it for a napkin.
That's bear grease, Chester.
Yeah, looks like he ain't washed it since he was a boy.
Oh, Tup, how are you, huh?
Fit to fight day or night.
Hello, Tup.
Well, I see you're looking sloppy as ever, Chester.
I'm looking sloppy. Why, Tup, doggone your old hide.
Never mind,
well,
Chester.
Well, I'd
never
be
mind.
Well,
sloppy.
No, that's how I remember him.
Tup, we've been up on the Republican River. We heard that you're selling your ranch.
Yeah, want to buy it?
No. We just thought we'd stop by and see how you're doing.
I'm doing right good, Marshal.
Well, why are you selling, Tup?
Oh, I'm tired of being alone. Need help out here, getting old.
Nah. How much are you asking for the place?
$10,000, and it ain't worth a dollar more. You want it?
No, I don't want it. But have you found anybody who's interested?
That's why I'm riding to Dodge next week. I'll find somebody.
Well, I wish you'd come see me when you get there.
Yeah, maybe I will when I get there. You can buy me a drink, Marshal.
I'll be glad to, Tup. Well, so long.
Bye, Tup.
Goodbye. If the ocean was whiskey and I was a duck, I'd dive to the bottom and drink it all up.
Good, Mr. Dillon, ain't that awful?
He's a fine old man, Chester, for all his loose-minded ways.
He's half simple. He ain't got a lick of sense. The first fella who comes along is going to rob him blind.
No, he isn't, Chester. Not if I can help it.
Sit down, sit down, my boy.
No thanks, Doc. I had enough sitting last week.
Oh, yeah. Oh, say, that was a long ride you made.
Well, we didn't accomplish much, but we saw an awful lot of country.
You know, that's what I like about your job. You get paid whether you accomplish anything or not.
You know, you're complaining because you can't collect money off of dead men, Doc.
Oh, that's so. You know, you talk easy, Mad Dillon. You're forgetting how you might get sick.
I'm too healthy to worry about having to stay on the good side of you, you miserable old...
All right, now you've done it. Yeah, yes. Now you're going to have to buy me a drink.
My pleasure, Doc. Let's go into the Long Branch.
I knew if I waited long enough, some conscience-stricken heathen would come along and ask me into a bar.
I don't mind, Doc. It's some poor devil you might have to operate on this afternoon that I'm worried about. After you.
Thank you. Shall we stand at the bar?
Wait a minute, Doc.
What?
That's Tup Claver sitting over there.
Oh, yes. I saw him on the street a while ago.
Who's that with him?
I don't know, man.
Look, Doc, order me a drink, will you? I'll be with you in just a minute.
Well, you're right out and take a look at it, all right? Well.
Hello, Tup.
Oh, sit down, Marshal. Sit down.
I thought you were going to look me up when you got to Dodge.
Marshal, this here's Mr. Wayne Rutman.
How do you do, Marshal?
Mr. Rutman.
He's aiming to buy my ranch.
Oh, is that so?
Where? He's from Kansas City. He wants to see the ranch before we make a deal, though, Marshal.
Well, I can understand that.
You want to see the money, don't you?
Well, it's your ID.
Well, of course. And you will see it. 2 weeks from now, I'll have it deposited in the bank here.
Well, it'll only take a week to ride up and see the ranch and come back.
No, I want to send for the money first.
Why? I ain't going to sell without it get paid anyway.
Evidence of good faith, Tup. I want you to know I have the money that I'm ready to buy before I look the ranch over.
Yeah, don't make sense to me.
Marshal, do you see anything wrong in doing it my way?
I don't see it makes any difference.
There you are, Tup. I'll be going now, and 2 weeks from today, I'll meet you at the bank. Agreed?
Sure, I'll be there.
Good. Bye, Marshal.
Bye, Mr. Rutman.
Ho, dead dough, you never know. My.
What?
Never mind, Marshal. Nice feller, huh?
Yeah. Well, where did you run into him?
At the hotel this morning. I told everybody I was selling my ranch, and his eyes lit up, and he bought me a drink. Oh, I got to come to town more often. When do the ladies get here, Marshal?
You never mind the ladies.
But I'm going to be rich. $15,000 worth.
What?
Yep, $15,000, Marshal.
But you were only asking 10.
Well, I told him that. But he said that he's as rich as can be and wants to do right by an old man like me. Now, ain't he a nice fella, Marshal?
Yeah, maybe. But I'll be there to find out for sure.
Come in.
Hello, Mr. Bodkin.
Well, come in, Marshal. What can the bank do for you today?
It's been 2 weeks, Mr. Bodkin. I told you I wanted to be here when Ruttman and Tup Claver showed up.
Of course, of course. But Wayne Ruttman's already been here, Marshal.
Oh, he has?
Mm-hmm. Deposited $15,000 cash, just like that.
It's an awful lot of money.
I wish there were more businessmen like him around.
Well, morning, gentlemen.
Here's Tup.
Oh, it's you, Marshal.
Hello, Tup.
Oh, where's Ruttman?
He said he'd meet you at the stable about noon, Tup. He'll be ready to ride up to the ranch with you, and the money's here, $15,000. It's been deposited.
I'll take your word for it, Bodkin.
If Ruttman decides to buy, he'll give you a note for the money. All you'll have to do is come here and collect it.
Well, sounds easy.
Nothing to it.
My.
Well, I don't see anything wrong with the deal, do you, Mr. Bodkin?
Certainly not. You're a lucky man, Tup, if he decides to buy, of
course. Oh, he'll buy. Place looks fine. I just got back this morning.
So that's where you've been. Huh?
Riding and dreaming, Marshal. Dreaming of money.
Well, good luck, Tup.
There ain't no such thing, Marshal. Luck's for fools and sinners. You'll see. Oh, yes, you'll see. If the ocean runs whiskey and I was a
Hello, Kitty. Oh,
Matt.
What's the matter? Did I scare you?
I guess we were concentrating pretty hard on those dresses in the window. Matt, this is Mary Emmett.
How do you do, Mary?
Hello, Marshal.
Mary's an old friend of mine. She's just passing through on her way to Denver.
Oh, why don't you stay in Dodge a while, Mary? They got enough pretty girls in Denver.
Kitty's told me about you, Marshal. I don't believe a word you say.
Well, then I guess you really are old friends.
It's been 15 years, hasn't it, Mary?
Ever since New Orleans.
We were awful young men, weren't we?
Well, you grew up pretty fast in that town.
We sure did. Where's Chester, Matt? I'd like him to meet Mary, too.
He went in the bank, Kitty. He claimed he had to change some money.
Well, I wish I had some money. I'd change it right in his store. Look at that purple dress, Matt.
Kitty, you got 100 dresses.
Well, then I've lost 95 of them. The others are in rags.
Well, the one you're wearing looks nice.
This thing would look good on a gal from the deep piney wood.
Kitty, you haven't changed a bit. As long as I've known, you've complained about your wardrobe.
Well, I'll stop one day, Mary, when I get $1,000,000.
Mr. Dillon!
That's Chester, Matt.
Oh, yeah. Well, look, maybe I can join you two later and have a drink with you.
Hope you will, Marshal.
Okay, we'll do that.
Bye.
Hey, Mr. Dillon, they're having an awful row in the bank there.
Oh, who is?
Mr. Bodkin and that fellow Ruttman.
Oh, is Ruttman back?
Got back this morning, he says, and he wants his money. He's decided not to buy Tup's ranch.
Oh, what's the trouble?
Well, Mr. Bodkin says that... Well, you better ask him. There they are at the teller's window.
You keep quiet a minute, Ruttman. Marshal Dillon, you settle this.
That's the trouble, Mr. Bodkin.
He won't give me my money, that's the trouble.
You haven't got any money here.
$15,000 is all.
Here's your note, Ruttman. You signed it.
My note.
Can I see it a minute, Mr. Bodkin? Give whatever money I have in bank to Tup Claver. Signed, Wayne Ruttman.
It's impossible.
Well, isn't this your writing, Ruttman?
Of course it's his, Marshal. Tup brought it in 2 days ago.
2 days ago?
Now, that's a lie. 3 days ago, I left him at his ranch 150 miles from here. Nobody could ride that in one day.
Somebody's sure lying. He was here, and I gave him the money.
Then it's up to the Marshal to get it back. Right now. I'll be waiting at the Dodge House, Mark.
Mr. Dillon.
Yeah, what, Chester?
I got an idea where old Tup might be at.
Well, let's go find him.
Golly, there he is, sitting right on the porch.
What's he doing way out here, Chester?
Well, sir, he told me he didn't like the Dodge House, and he was going to board here at the Widow Clancy's.
Oh? He mentioned that he'd have a shotgun across his lap.
Well, now, what's he doing with that?
Oh, hello, Marshal. Chester. Come sit a spell.
Who's the gun for, Tup? Wayne Rutman?
Can't never tell, Marshal. Man carrying as much money as I am. No, sir.
Rutman's kind of upset about that money, Tup.
He is?
Mm-hmm. He wants it back.
Wants it back? I don't understand, Marshal. He gave me the note.
Yeah, I know. I saw it.
Well, is there something wrong with it?
No, Mr. Botkin says it's in his handwriting.
Well, then what's the fuss? Marshal, I don't want to do nothing illegal. You know that.
You, gave Rutman the deed to your ranch, didn't you?
Of course I did. Why else would he be giving me that note for the money?
Tup, how did you ride 150 miles in one day?
Now, you ain't saying that's illegal, are you?
No, it's not illegal, Tup. It's impossible.
Marshal, we ought to get this whole thing straightened out.
I think we better, Tup.
Then you tell Wayne Rutman to be at the Long Branch tonight. We'll settle it there. I won't be accused of no wrongdoing, Marshal. No, no, not me.
Well, there he is, Rutman. The same table where you first made the deal.
You stand up for me, Marshal. You make him give me back my money.
Well, evening, gentlemen. Sit down.
Hello, Tup.
I hear you got a complaint, Rutman. What's wrong?
I changed my mind. I don't want your ranch.
You don't want it?
Here's the deed. Now hand over the money.
Oh, but we made a deal. I gave you the deed, and you gave me the note for the money.
Well, I said I've changed my mind.
No, it's too late, Rutman. You've already bought the ranch. It's yours.
$15,000 for that place? Don't be a fool.
And I didn't make you pay it.
Rutman, don't you tell me something. Tup only asked $10,000. Now, why did you offer him
$15,000? Well, I... I'll answer that, Marshal. He wanted to make sure I wouldn't sell it to nobody else. He had it all figured out. He rode out to my ranch with me, and we made a deal. I give him the deed, and he give me the note. Then he said he had to go on to Hayes City and wouldn't be riding back with me. But I know that he aimed to get back here as fast as he could and draw his money out of the bank before I could get here with his note. That way he'd have both his money and the ranch. He'd get the ranch for free.
This whole thing is ridiculous. I'm giving you back your deed, Tup. You can have the ranch. I want that money.
Wait a minute. I'll tell you what I'll do, Rutman. Now, the ranch is only worth $10,000. Everybody knows that. So I'll buy it back for $10,000.
What?
Yep. I've got the money right here. You want it?
No, I want the whole $15,000. I had to borrow $10,000 of it. I've got to return it within a week.
I can't help that, Rutman. Ranch ain't worth more than $10,000, and that's all I'll pay for it. Now, you can take it or leave it.
Marshal, are you going to sit there and let him cheat me out of $5,000?
Mr. Rutman, you don't have to sell the ranch
I've
back.
I've got to return that $10,000. There'll be trouble if I don't. Bad trouble.
Now, there it is. Right there on the table.
I'm going to go get me a gun.
Uh-uh. No, you don't, Rutman.
I'll find him when you're not around, Marshal.
Hey, Rutman. Look over there at that bar. You see them five fellers?
What about them?
They're mighty good friends of mine, and they're staying right here in town as long as I do in case of any trouble.
Huh. Looks to me like you're licked, Mr. Rutman. Now, you either pick up the $10,000 or the deed, and you get out of here. Now.
You'll hear about this, Marshal. Cheating me.
I said get going, Rutman.
Crooks.
Well, he took the money and left the deed, Marshal. I still got my ranch and $5,000 to boot.
Tup, who are those friends of yours at the bar there?
Oh, I'm giving a party tonight, Marshal. You're invited, too. All the drinks are on me.
Yeah, but why them?
Well, they're just fellas I know. They live 30, 40 miles apart, all the way up to my ranch.
Oh?
When I rode back here to see Rutman's money like he wanted me to, I left a horse at each one of them fellas' places.
So that's how you made the trip in one day, huh?
A day and a night, Marshal.
You had your own Pony Express.
Well, I kind of figured maybe I ought to get here before Ruttman did.
You kind of figured right, Tup.
Now, Marshal, you know that I'm honest as daylight.
I always have been.
Of course, I do stretch the blanket a little when it's blanket stretching time.
I tell you what, Tup. Why don't we get that party going, huh?
Gunsmoke, produced and directed by Norman McDonald, stars William Conrad as Matt Dillon, U.S. Marshal. Our story was specially written for Gunsmoke by John Meston, with music composed and conducted by Rex Corey. Sound patterns by Ray Kemper and Bill James. Featured in the cast were Ralph Moody, Harry Bartell, Joe Duval, and Kathy Marlowe. Harley Bear is Chester, Howard McNear is Doc, and Georgia Ellis is Kitty. During the current year, Boys Clubs of America is celebrating its golden anniversary. Formed in 1906 from a nucleus of some 50 existing boys clubs, the National Boy Guidance Organization today numbers 435 member clubs from coast to coast, serving more than 450,000 boys. This year, Boys Club Week will again be known as Operation Juvenile Decency, stressing the theme, Prevent Juvenile Delinquency by Building Juvenile Decency.
Welcome back. I hope you guys enjoyed this episode of OTRWesterns.com. Send me an email, podcast@OTRWesterns.com. Don't forget to follow us on Facebook, OTRWesterns.com/Facebook. And we're also on Twitter, OTRWesterns.com/Twitter. Call, leave me a voicemail, 707-986-8739. Don't forget to rate this show on iTunes, OTRWesterns.com/iTunes. This episode's copyright under the attribution non-commercial share-alike copyright. For more information, go to otrwesterns.com/copyright. Hope you enjoy. Again, thanks for listening, and have a great day.